Good morning. This morning's message is about a very interesting Bible character. His name is Jacob. We know a lot about Jacob from the book of Genesis. We know that he was a twin, that his brother's name was Esau. And Esau was the firstborn. Jacob came out of the womb grasping at the heel of Esau. And so Jacob was named Jacob because Jacob means heel grasper, also can mean deceiver, conniver. And in his early years, he lived up to the name. He was a deceiver. And we're told that Jacob was his mother's favorite, and Esau was his father's favorite. And his mother, Rebekah, came up with a scheme that Jacob agreed to be a part of, whereby he would steal his brother's blessing. The firstborn son is entitled to the blessing from his father, and it was a birthright. And so it came time for Esau to get that blessing. And Isaac, the father, sent him out to get some wild game and prepare a great meal for him before he gave that blessing. And while he was out, to make a long story short, you can read about it in Genesis, Rebekah made a meal to appear to be what Esau would have provided. And they took some goat skin and put it on Jacob's arms because Esau was a hairy man and Jacob wasn't. And so the goat skin would make it appear that he was Esau. And he went in to get the blessing after Isaac had had this meal. And Isaac was a little suspicious. The voice didn't really match. But other things did, like the hairy arms, which was really goat skin. So Isaac gave Jacob the blessing. And when Esau came back, both Isaac and Esau realized that Isaac had been deceived. And Esau pled with Isaac, please, don't you have a blessing for me? Give me a blessing. And Isaac said, no, I really can't give you the same blessing. And what he gave was pretty lame. If you read it, it doesn't even make sense to me. And Esau was livid, and he said, Jacob has lived up to his name. He is a deceiver. And he was. When his father asked him who he was, he just flat out said he was Esau when he was not Esau. He lied. And Rebekah was a part of that. Well, Rebekah realized that Jacob's life was in danger, and she knew that when Isaac died, which they didn't know when that might happen, Esau was going to kill Jacob. So she told Jacob to run, go to the land of Laban. Now this was all part of God's plan because that land was an area that later became part of the Promised Land. And so Jacob headed that way. And on the way, he has this really interesting dream. And in the dream, he sees a ladder. And he sees angels ascending and descending from heaven. And the Lord spoke to him in this dream and said, I'm the Lord, the God of Abraham, your father, and the God of Isaac. The land on which you lie, I will give to you and to your offspring. And your offspring shall be like the dust of the earth, and you shall spread abroad to the west and to the east and to the north and to the south. And in you and your offspring shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Behold, I am with you and will keep you wherever you go and will bring you back to this land, for I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you. And then Jacob woke up. So he goes into the land. He meets Laban's relatives. He meets Rachel. It's a long story. He ends up marrying Leah first and then Rachel, and ends up with two concubines and several livestock. It's a very interesting story. You should read it. But eventually, the situation gets a little hostile there between some of Laban's sons and Jacob. And the Lord tells Jacob to return to his father's land. And so that brings us to our scripture today, because as he's on his way back to the land that he came from, he hears that Esau is on his way to meet him. Esau is on his way with 400 men. So Jacob, being a conniver and having lots of livestock, being a wealthy man at this point, sends some gifts to Esau. Now, right before he decided to do this, we're told that when Jacob was on his way, he saw the angels of the Lord. The angels of the Lord met him, and he said, this is God's camp. So he called that place Mahanaim, because that means two camps. So he's probably referring to the angels being one camp and his own people another camp. But when he hears that Esau is on his way and that he's got 400 men, he decides to pray. And so I want to read what he prayed. He says, starting in verse 9, O God of my father Abraham and God of my father Isaac, O Lord, who said to me, return to your country and to your kindred, that I may do you good. I am not worthy of the least of all the deeds of steadfast love and all the faithfulness that you have shown to your servant. For with only my staff I crossed this Jordan, and now I have become two camps. Please deliver me from the hand of my brother, from the hand of Esau, for I fear him, that he may come and attack me, the mother and the children. But you said, I will surely do you good and make your offspring as the sand of the sea, which cannot be numbered for multitude. So Jacob has moved his family across the river Jabbok, and there he is by himself in the night. And as he's there, this is what happens. I'm reading with starting verse 22. The same night he arose and took his two wives, his two female servants, and his 11 children, and crossed the ford of the Jabbok. And he took them, sent them across the streams, and everything else that he had. And Jacob was left alone. And a man wrestled with him until the breaking of the day. When the man saw that he did not prevail against Jacob, he touched his hip socket, and Jacob's hip was put out of joint as he wrestled with him. Then he said, let me go, for the day has broken. But Jacob said, I will not let you go unless you bless me. And he said to him, "What is your name?" And he said, "Jacob." Then he said, "Your name shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel, for you have striven with God and with men and have prevailed." Then Jacob asked God, "Please tell me your name." But he said, "Why is it that you ask my name?" And there he blessed him. So Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, saying, "For I have seen God face to face, and yet my life has been delivered." The sun rose upon him as he passed, Peniel limping because of his hip. As he passed Peniel, limping because of his hip. Therefore, to this day, the people of Israel do not eat the sinew of the thigh that is on the hip socket, because he touched the socket of Jacob's hip on the sinew of the thigh. This story happens 20 years after Jacob flees Esau. 20 years after Jacob saw the ladder of angels ascending and descending from heaven. And 20 years after God had promised to be with him and to multiply his family into a great nation. And God had directed Jacob to leave. So that's why 20 years later, Jacob is now returning to where he came from, to his original home. And when he finds out that he's about to run into Esau, he becomes greatly afraid. And he's trying his best gift set out by placating Esau with a gift. But when the gift doesn't seem to work and he's told he's with 400 men, he's on his way, he gets even more afraid. And he prayed. That's the first time we see any time in Jacob's life where he prayed. Even in the 20 years he was working with Laban. And that's a very interesting story in and of itself. I can't go into it right now, but read about Jacob and his life up until that point. He was not a man of prayer. He was not surrendered to God in any way. But he's different somehow than he was when he was fleeing Esau, because now when he's confronted with Esau, something breaks within him and he realizes he needs a savior. He realizes that he needs the Lord. He's, once again, as we have talked about in the past, in past messages, what it's like to be between a rock and a hard place. He was between a rock and a hard place. There was no way he could get himself out of this short of God's help. And I think his prayer is beautiful. Go back and read that prayer. And he reminds God of God's promises. He reminds God of God's direction and guidance for him to be leaving Laban's land and go home. But he's afraid. And after he's done praying, he continues to try to figure out how to save himself. And we're told that after he takes his family and sends them across the river Jabbok, and he's alone there, a man comes and wrestles with him. We find out that that man is the Lord, or at least a representative of the Lord. Some people think the Lord of hosts, that this man probably was actually Jesus. And Jacob actually refers to him as the Lord in this story. But what can we make of the fact that he was wrestling with God? How can we make sense of that? Let me ask you, do you ever feel like you wrestle with God in your life? Do you ever feel like God wants you to behave in a certain way or act in a certain way, and that's not the way you want to go? You want to do things your way. There's a big difference, I think, between wanting a Savior and wanting a Lord. Do we want just the knowledge and the assurance that when we die, we're going to go to heaven? Or do we want to experience and live the kingdom of God in this life? And that can only come by obedience. Obedience to the ways of the kingdom. Obedience to be about His love and not our own agenda. And we're told when this man, the Lord, saw that Jacob was a pretty good wrestler and was holding his own, just my own words, he touched the hip socket of Jacob. You know, when the Lord touches us, sometimes we experience such a change in perspective that we don't recognize ourselves. I have a friend, he said, I've had so many rough edges worn off by God that I don't even recognize myself. But I love the fact that his hip socket was affected, because that affects his walk. Your walk with God will never be the same when you've wrestled with Him. And it says that Jacob wanted a blessing. He says, I know it's daytime, and I think that what that means is you got work to do. You got your family waiting for you. You're about to meet Esau. It's time for you to go to work. And Jacob said, I'm not going to let you go till you bless me. This is very interesting to me, because do you remember that Jacob got his original blessing from his father through deception? I think he probably thought that that was a lame blessing. That's not a blessing that God, as I understand God to be, from his concept of God. He had some insight of the character of God from his father Isaac, and Isaac was displeased with his deception. He knew that he had displeased his father. He probably felt like he had displeased the Lord. I don't think Jacob really believed that he was blessed by God. I think he carried that guilt all that time, all those 20 years. And now he wants a legitimate blessing. He wants to right the wrong that he did and be right with God. And he says, I will not let you go unless you bless me. You see, Jacob was wrestling with God, but he was wrestling for the right thing. He wasn't wrestling for his own way. That's why he was able to prevail, because God was actually happy with what he was accomplishing in his wrestling. He was conquering his lower nature in his wrestling with God. And listen to this. He says, what's your name? The man says that to Jacob, or the Lord says that. What's your name? Remember, he lied the first time. He said he was Esau. Now he has to come clean. He says, I'm Jacob. I'm the deceiver. I'm the conniver. That's what Jacob means in the Bible. When you say your name, its meaning is who you are. And he had lived up to that meaning. Esau even said he did. He carried that with him. And then the Lord says to him, your name shall no longer be Jacob or deceiver, but it shall be Israel. For you have striven with God and with men and have prevailed. That doesn't mean he prevailed against God. He prevailed with God. See, Israel means one who is governed by God. It means from that point on, God was now his Lord. That he had righted his relationship with the Lord by letting the Lord give him his grace and mercy and his steadfast love, and entering into a relationship with God that was established in the right way. And there's a humility about him now. When you've walked with pride and arrogance and worldliness, and then you've met the Lord, from the world's point of view, you're limping. You're lame. You become a lame duck. But from the Lord's point of view, you have moved in a major way, in a huge way, in the right direction. Because now you walk with the Lord and you prevail with God in accomplishing his purposes in your life and loving all those you encounter. And then, of course, Jacob says, "Please tell me your name." And he says, "Why do you ask me my name?" I think he knew who he was, because he calls the place Peniel, "For I have seen God face to face, and yet my life has been delivered." Most scholars, or many scholars, believe that Genesis was written by Moses. And Moses wanted to see God face to face. He was only allowed to see the hinder parts of God, the glory of God, because God said, "No man can see the face of God and live." But Jacob, he at least saw an outline of God's face. He says he saw God face to face. He knew he saw God. He encountered God in a life-changing way, and he never walked the same after that. I just want to encourage you that in this life, we're told that we go from glory to glory. That means we go from one level to another level. There's a book Charles Swindoll wrote, 2 Steps Forward, 1 Step Back. And I don't think I even read the book. Maybe I read parts of it, but the title speaks volumes, because it seems like so much of the time in life, it's 2 Steps Forward, 1 Step Back. Sometimes I think we go 1 step forward and 2 steps back, but God help us to walk in God's ways and to live for God's kingdom and his purposes, so that we can reach out to this hurting world and bring God's grace and God's love. This world is desperate for the love of Jesus Christ, and you carry that. And the Lord wants you to be secure in God's steadfast love for you, and have you carry that love to others. God bless you.